Welcome to Tax Bites for Expats, the top tax tips you want to know as an expat. The podcast is here to help answer the common queries and concerns expats have when moving to or from Ireland. Complex taxes explained simply. We'll focus on the Irish and international tax issues to be aware of to ensure you save time, money, and stress.
Hi everyone, thanks for joining us today. The topic today is about the tax issues that people think about or consider when they're moving to Dubai. And we are very happy to be joined today by Shiraz Waheed, who is an ex-Deloitte qualified accountant and who over the past 5 years has consulted with entrepreneurs and businesses from around the world and helped them to relocate to Dubai. The aim really of their moves is to eliminate the tax burden. Shiraz focuses on his proprietary Dubai Zero Tax Blueprint process, which has been responsible for helping hundreds of entrepreneurs achieve the financial freedom they want and to live a somewhat location-independent lifestyle. Shiraz, thank you very much for joining us. I hope that intro did you justice. It sounds like you've been busy over the last 5 years.
Hi, Steph. Yeah, thank you for the kind introduction and thank you for inviting me to your show. Indeed, you have understood correct. Things have been busy, especially we have seen an upward trend after COVID in 2019-2020 when people were stuck with local restrictions of COVID and they tried to figure out, okay, what are the alternates? Where can we live? And then Dubai suddenly picked up. It was already, the zero tax solution was already working quite well. But from a living perspective, when people try to figure out what are the alternates, you know, that's where Dubai came in. That gives you the residency freedom. So like you can live wherever you want, including Dubai, or you want to travel around while your company and your personal tax residency are stationed in Dubai and optimized in a way that is minimal tax or almost zero tax.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting. Before we jump into that, tell us a little bit about yourself, Shiraz. What led you to a career in tax? Where did you train? Obviously with Deloitte. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what kind of led you to this career path.
Yeah, so I was always interested in business and finance, and I am a member of the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants in UK. So that was kind of the foundation of my professional background. And then obviously I started with a smaller firm in Dubai, worked there for two or three years, and then started in Deloitte, my practice. And then in Deloitte, interesting thing is that my job in Deloitte was to help international companies move their regional headquarters in Dubai and Saudi Arabia. So I've worked firsthand with $500 million companies moving their regional headquarters to Dubai and all the things that comes with it, including, you know, the local taxes, the international taxes, the transfer pricing matters that comes with them. It really gave me the insight of how these kinds of corporate restructurings can help you optimize your taxes. And then obviously when I decided to start my own firm and my own business and started an offering, it was really important that I offer something that I can believe in and that can benefit a wider range of client base. Obviously, like offering local accounting services could have been one thing, but going through this route, educating people on using the UAE residency and corporate route can help you optimize taxes in such a manner has been quite beneficial for myself and for my clients, to the result that I have, since the start of Setup Hero, I've already contested exit taxation in around 20 countries, including Australia, Canada, Spain, UK, Ireland, Germany, most of Europe. Obviously, like, I'm not a tax expert in all of these jurisdictions, of course, Ireland, but what we do is we work with local tax consultants, tax lawyers like yourself, and we create a holistic plan where we are properly making sure that you exit your tax system in a way that your tax authority does not come after you in putting taxes while you have successfully become a non-tax resident in your home country. Mm-hmm. At the same time, making sure that we have installed a robust structure in Dubai that take care of your personal taxation and your company taxation, and all the income that goes into it remains, as I said, either minimal tax or in many cases, zero tax. Yeah.
So I think there's probably two questions I want to ask. What does living in Dubai look like for most of your clients? Do the majority of your clients physically reside in Dubai? Do they have properties there? Tell us what that looks like.
Yeah. So the trend that we have is 50-50. So half of our clients, they move to Dubai, they buy properties that they are personally living in, their families are there, the children are going to school in Dubai. And the other half of the clients who have made Dubai their tax base and their business headquarters, and they're traveling or living somewhere else or traveling the rest of the year. And it really comes down to how you're structuring your residencies. So when you're moving to Dubai, that's like very straightforward. You just go to your home country, cancel your tax residency. Everything has been moved to Dubai. That's your center of life. That's where you live. That's your businesses. And the tax is quite straightforward. In that case, mostly what people do is they would travel in the summer because May, June, July, it becomes quite hot in Dubai. Mm-hmm. So they would probably travel back to their home country to meet the parents, to meet the family, maybe in UK, Ireland, Canada, wherever they are. And of course, they again travel in the winter during the Christmas and the New Year holidays. So that's the lifestyle that they maintain if they're moving permanently to Dubai. However, some people would prefer to go and explore other cultures and they don't want to live full-time in Dubai. And in that case, they really want to have the safety of the Dubai banking system, the connectivity of the Dubai's business environment throughout the world. So what they can do is they would select a territorial jurisdiction to live in. So a territorial jurisdiction would be that the country will tax you if your income is coming from inside the country, mm-hmm. but not if the income is coming from outside the country. So you need to find a territorial system that would include, let's say, moving to Indonesia or Thailand or Malaysia. So in that case, your business's income is generated in Dubai. You're personally living in one of these countries with the territorial tax system. I've seen clients go to Turkey, South America. In Europe, they have a few other countries that have tax breaks for expats. Mm-hmm. So in Spain, there's a thing called Beckham Law that gives you like 5 or 6 years of tax break. So you can structure in that way. Bulgarian tax residency is a low tax jurisdiction. There is a lump sum taxation in Italy. But mostly if you are relocating somewhere in Europe on a personal basis, there is some sort of taxation involved. But then it becomes, you know, a personal choice. Like if you don't want to live full time in Dubai, then it comes down to, okay, how we can minimize the taxes instead of completely eliminating it. As I said, half of them move to Dubai full time and then half of them live in other countries or travel the world.
And I suppose it's probably important then I ask the question in the context of individuals, but you've alluded to the fact that you sometimes help corporates shift their tax residency. And I suppose from an Irish perspective, both an individual and a company can have a residency from a tax perspective. I suppose, or I'd imagine from a Dubai perspective, it's similar. So if you see people shifting the corporate entities to Dubai, it's likely that they are also carrying out the majority of control or management of those businesses from Dubai, notwithstanding the fact that they might travel for some of the year. Is that right? Or how does that work practically if somebody's living in Indonesia, but they have a Dubai entity?
The thing is, if you are talking about specifically from an Ireland perspective, there is a double taxation treaty between United Arab Emirates and Ireland. And then the corporate tax residency of a company is governed by that tax treaty. And the main thing that comes into the tax treaty is the permanent establishment, the majority of ownership control, and where the revenues are mainly being generated. So depending on how the corporate is structured or the subsidiary is structured, and then how the double taxation treaty is being implemented. However, in a practical circumstances, if you have opened a company in Dubai and the central management is still residing in Ireland, there is a high chances that that company is deemed as a CFC or a controlled foreign corporation. So you might not be able to fully benefit from the UAE Ireland double taxation treaty, and then you have to declare and pay taxes in Ireland. Mm. Yeah, so majority of our work consists that we make sure that our client is also becoming a non-tax resident in their home country.
And I think that's an important point for people listening who maybe are planning to go to Dubai or are there, is that generally tax follows where value is created. And value or profit is generally created where the people are. So if we have an entity that is, for all intents and purposes, being run and controlled and managed from Ireland, it's difficult to argue that it has shifted its residency to a different jurisdiction. So yeah, it sounds like that's where you guys provide support to kind of help navigate that and help people understand the intricacies of how these rules work. And they're complicated, and I suppose it often depends on what's being done and by who, but it matters in the context of the type of planning you're alluding to. So for you, Shiraz, what are the benefits? And I know tax is going to be high on the list. What are the benefits of people and companies going to Dubai? You mentioned earlier, you know, the banking system, but I think listeners would be keen to hear why Dubai as an answer from you.
Yeah, so Stefan, that's a very good question. And sometimes it depends on the tax that comes on the top of the list. But then there are quite a few secondary reasons. And then it depends on a personal preference that a person chooses to move to Dubai out of those secondary reasons. So if I want to list down a few, obviously from a tax perspective, you have zero personal taxation. So there's no salary tax, income tax, capital gain, or profit or dividend tax, no tax on crypto or forex tradings or personal investments, and no tax on rental incomes, dividend income. So really whatever you make in your personal name is zero tax, okay? In terms of the corporate side, one of the lowest tax jurisdictions with 9% corporate tax. And then if you are qualified for a small business relief, even that becomes a 0% in terms of the corporate tax. So there are the taxes obviously on the top of the list. Then comes the corporate and the banking structure, because it is a jurisdiction that needs to be able to do business throughout the world, because our clients come from all over the world. So it has to work with the European Union. It has to work with the UK system, the US, the IRS. So we need to make sure that the banking system and the corporate system is globally respected. You know, it's not something that goes into blacklist of countries. There are some island nations where you can open zero tax companies, but then the banking is very difficult. To get the money in and out is very difficult because of they're called non-cooperative jurisdictions. So the thing that comes with Dubai is that the banking system is very smooth. You can open multiple currency accounts. Let's say you are someone from Australia, then you can do all your business in Australian dollars while being in Dubai. And same comes if you are from Europe, then you can do in euro. The flow of money is very easy. You know, there are not much restrictions. Of course, you have to give a robust KYC to your banks, that you have to prove that you are doing a genuine business and this is your expertise and this is your website and products and these are your clients and suppliers. But once you have given substantial evidence to your bank that you are doing a genuine business, the general flow of funds, the operations of the banking becomes very smooth, especially when you are dealing with international fund transfers. And investors who come to Dubai, you know, they're bringing their savings to buy properties or do investments to the tune of millions of dollars, maybe in a single transaction. And the banking system in Dubai that allows you to do such transactions. So that's the second part, the corporate and the banking structure. Now, from a personal perspective, we usually see young entrepreneurs move to Dubai for the networking effect of things, because it's become a cluster of highly successful entrepreneurs to be in Dubai. So they meet here, they network here, they create partnerships. And I've literally seen my client business jump to 4 or 5 times in revenue just in 1 year because of the partnerships and the networks that they were able to develop as a result of moving to Dubai. So networking, and you find people in your industry and really the people who are winning in your industry, because generally people who move to Dubai, they have a criteria that they are winning. There's someone making a substantial amount of income that invites a substantial amount of tax, and as a result that motivates them to move out of their home country and to benefit from the tax system of Dubai. So that's one thing. In terms of culture, it's a very multicultural city, probably like more than 50 countries are being represented here. English is a very widely spoken language, so you don't have to learn any local regional language in order to work in Dubai. So most of the expats that come, they don't have a language barrier because English is a generally spoken language in the community as well as in the government offices. Apart from that, from a safety perspective, it's also classified as one of the most safest city in the world. So depending on where you're coming from, what your background is, you know, but sometimes our clients feel that, okay, I think our families or and we feel much safer while living in Dubai as compared to where we are coming from. But obviously, that's not always the case. I understand there are also many generally safer cities around the world, but it does give you a sense of security. It is classified as one of the top three safest cities for expats who are relocating abroad.
Yeah, there's a lot plenty there. And you've given like practical things too, you know, great to kind of be able to set up a company or have a business in a jurisdiction. But I suppose if it's safe and, you know, it's easy to integrate because there's lots of different nationalities and English is a spoken language, that goes a long way to making practically viable. In terms of that entry for somebody, so perhaps a listener in Ireland who has a successful business, a lot of businesses are online now and digital, they can potentially be quite easily moved to a different jurisdiction. What's it like and how does it work if you want to set up a company in Dubai? Talk us through what that looks like practically.
Probably the digital-based businesses are the best suited for the service that we offer because, again, they're not required to be present in their own country. The business is not required to be in that country. So usually these are service-based businesses, e-commerce businesses, coaching, consulting businesses, or software development and marketing agencies and stuff. In terms of the process of walking you through how it looks like, in terms of just moving the business from the home country, let's say Ireland to Dubai, we would be setting up a company in the UAE, most probably in a free zone establishment. And then using that company, we will issue a residence visa or a general manager visa for the owner of that company to come to Dubai and acquire a residence. And it's a very easy process. It's a fast process. The residency success rate is very high because the government itself wants to promote entrepreneurs coming to Dubai. So the residency and the immigration process is very easy. And it's also very easy to maintain your residency. However, the second step, as I said, the first is to set up the company. The second step is to acquire a residency. And then once that residency is acquired, we can open local banks in Dubai and some of the international banks and payment processing and checkouts. So depending on the type of business that you're doing, some of the people would prefer wire transfers. Some of them prefers payment links, and some of them would prefer like online checkouts for Shopify or e-commerce integrations and stuff. So depending on what your business payment requirements are, and the currency requirement is also very important. So some of the clients are quite comfortable just shifting to the local currency, or the US dollar is quite prevalent. So we just open them a US dollar payment account, a payment gateway that works in USD, and a bank account that works in USD. And that's kind of it. But some people, they really prefer to continue the transactions in their original currency, let's say euro and Canadian dollar and stuff. So we look at what type of payment solution is required. And then because it's a location independent business, you can continue invoicing your clients wherever they are from your UAE company. And just as an example that, you know, if you have a marketing agency in the UK, it does not stop you from bringing on board clients from the US or Canada or Middle East. It's the same. Like if you are doing a logo design service company or a software development company, you can sell your software anywhere in the world. And then, you know, just you just have to invoice your client from the company that you're headquartered in, and that would be in Dubai.
That all sounds nice and straightforward, which really is what a lot of people are looking for when they initiate moves like this, which are a big life move. In terms of day-to-day life in Dubai, are business hours similar to what we're used to here in Europe? Yeah, talk us through kind of what day-to-day life is like and how it differs maybe from life in rainy Ireland.
Yeah, so of course, from a business hours perspective, we used to have a weekend this Friday and Sunday used to be a working day. So, you know, throughout my corporate life at Deloitte, when we were working with clients in the US, UK, Europe, right? It used to be a very surprising thing. Oh, you guys work on Sunday. But last year, from I think 1st of January 2023, we were able to like shift our weekend from Friday to Sunday. So that's kind of a relief that now the working days and the working hours are quite normal to the global norms, with a very specific exception of the holy month of Ramadan. That's usually around April or May every year. And of course, the dates change, but the work really slows down. In that month, the government hours, the working hours changes substantially, like almost 50% for all the employees. And of course, that's like a local cultural norm. So you get adopted to that. In terms of day-to-day life, of course, from a rainy winter style, lifestyle where you are probably, you know, wearing 6 layers of clothing when you go out. In Dubai, it's almost like 1 layer of clothing that you can wear throughout the year. And in terms of the weather, I know Dubai is famous for hot weather, but it's really like a few months, I would say, from May, June, July until August, that it's really difficult to go outside. And then most of the time you're indoors in the air condition. And that sometimes become a negative for families with children and dogs who wants to go out and play. But then you try to schedule your vacations in those months. However, as soon as August, September starts, there is a very stable weather throughout the year until March, April, where you are going out. It's not very hot. It's not very cold. It's a very pleasant weather that you will experience. In terms of nature, it's mostly focused towards the sea and the deserts and the mountains. So maybe not as green nature as focused as what we see in Europe. Of course, we do have hiking tracks and, you know, green belts. But really, on a day-to-day perspective, people usually navigate towards the sea. And you see a contrast in the two sides of cultures or living environment. And both have their own advantages and I would say disadvantages. It depends on your perspective as well. Things become very easy in Dubai because of the how the systems work, how the services are there. But again, like if you get too accustomed, then you might also become a lazy person, you know.
Yeah, you're selling it though, Shiraz. I can see why it's become such a popular location. One of the next questions people are going to have naturally is, how can you help them? How do they contact you? And what does working with you look like? I'd imagine that's naturally what people are going to ask.
So the first step of working with me is like going to my website, that's setuphero.com, and then booking an initial consultation call with myself. And then we will look at a few things, including the business, the personal residency side of things, the clients, the customers. And really, we need to establish, is it possible for you to relocate your business and to have benefit from the tax-free lifestyle? That would be the initial purpose of the call. And then once that is established, what we do is a series of workshop that's called Map Your Exit Workshop. And that workshop will be with myself and one of the tax partners in your home country. So if it's in Ireland, most probably it will be with Stephanie, that we look to all your personal and corporate taxation side of things. And in the map your exit stage, we map out, okay, when is the best time to set up your company abroad? When is the best time to move yourself? When do we stop trading in your home country? And when is the best time to declare you a non-tax resident in your home country? And then we will also map out what are the documents and the requirements that we need to fulfill to achieve that goal. So that would be the map your exit stage. That's a mini workshop that we conclude. It's a one-on-one workshop. And then based on that, we come up with a plan and then we start executing. And the execution is basically setting up the company in Dubai, setting up the residencies, making sure that your exit plan is going well, and then eventually declaring you a non-tax resident for the tax authorities in your home country. And then you're settled in Dubai and operating your personal and business life from Dubai. And that's kind of the first phase of the project. But of course, as you start operating, we also provide ongoing support to make sure that you are compliant in both the countries.
It's so important. I mean, from an Irish perspective, you know, we work with a lot of clients who they want to migrate their personal and business lives outside of Ireland. And then there's generally, and I know we've had a podcast on your own very successful podcast show, Shiraz, where we've spoken about that. But for anybody who didn't catch that episode, I suppose the distillation of it from an Irish perspective is, firstly, you know, as an individual, how many days are you going to have in Ireland post-departure? Is this a move or is it just essentially a transient departure from Ireland with frequent returns? You know, we're counting days. And then we're also looking at, depending on how long you're gone for, what connections you've retained with Ireland. And that's when we start looking at the treaty, which can be helpful in some instances. So really, from an Irish perspective, this move needs to be navigated carefully because an individual is moving to a very low or a non-tax jurisdiction from a high tax, from an individual perspective, jurisdiction. So there's obviously anti-avoidance that we have enshrined in our own domestic law that's designed to prevent people affecting these moves purely for tax avoidance purposes. And that's what I think a trained professional, both here in Ireland and Dubai, will help you navigate, is how to navigate a move and avoid pitfalls that can catch anybody, really, because it is complicated. And like everything to do with tax, it's always down to the circumstances and the desire of the individual. There's no one-fit-all approach. It's really about working with somebody who can help you achieve your objectives. And it sounds that's exactly what your company does, Shiraz. I think any of our listeners who are considering a move will have been able to glean quite a lot from what you've shared today. Thank you so much. I say this to most of our guests, but I always end episodes thinking that we need to do another, because there's probably lots more we could have spoken about. We'll have your website in the show notes, but it's setuphero.com. And I'm sure people can find you on LinkedIn if they want to connect there. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us the time to share your insights with the people who are listening.
Thank you, Stephanie. It was a pleasure speaking to you, and it was a pleasure connecting with your audience through this podcast. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Tax Bites for Expats. Please do leave a rating or review wherever you listen to your podcast. And as always, remember to take professional tax advice specific to your personal circumstances before acting or refraining from action in connection with the matters dealt with in this series. The material in this podcast is intended to give general guidance only.